Got sound?
Yes, sir.
Good, good. Well, welcome to EIWTC for 2017-2018 school year. Welcome to those that are watching by internet or watching online, Roku, Apple TV, however you're watching. We're going to have a great year. There's a few things I want to cover with you real briefly since we didn't have an orientation. I want to give you some means of how we can stay in contact. We're going to give out information. If you would, if you have your cell phones, pull them out for me, please. First of all, put them on vibrate. Those that are watching, pull your cell phones out. And I want to get to the place where you can text. And I want you to send, to the number you want to text to is 41444. That's 41444, and then in the message, you want to put, in all caps, EIWTC. You can go ahead and do it now. EIWTC, acronym for Ever Increasing Word Training Center. Did it do anything? 41411. Did I say that right? Yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm dealing with two different numbers. 41411. That's it. Thank you. 41411. We have another number that's 41444, so I get confused sometimes. So it's 41, again, internet, 41411. Right? Did it work that time? All right, cool. Cool, I had to do it myself because we renew this every year so we can make sure we have a fresh group. Yeah, that's all right. It's all good. And they're gonna get you a message back saying, welcome to EIWTC, get ready to learn and grow. All right. This is how we'll send out messages, in case we have to change class or cancel class or anything of that nature. You have this text message in addition to we have your emails and cell phone numbers that we'll send information out on. So now that out the way, also number two, I can't stress this enough, especially the campus students. I know online students, you've probably done this already, but campus students, I can't not stress this enough. Go online, make sure you log in, make sure you understand how the system works, how our online classroom system works, how to take quizzes, how to take exams. You'll see most times if you go online, most of y'all won't go online because you're here. But if you do go online, that is the way, that's one of the ways that you'll be able to make up classes. If you have to miss a class, you can make up class by going online. And for our online students to track their attendance, of course, we have our iPad here, I think. We have an iPad that we check into. But the way that online students have their attendance checked is by taking quizzes from that particular class. So if you miss a class and you want to make that class up, you don't have an excused absence, then you would do the same thing. You go online, watch the class, and take the quiz to prove that, hey, I did take this class and did watch it. So. That's two things that I wanted to mention and make sure that you do, because please do not wait till the week of exams, because all our exams are done online. Matter of fact, I am probably the most unique exam you will probably take, because mine is open book. Now don't go to sleep on it. Mine is open book, which means I'm going to force you to read. I am a reader. There's some things that we're going to cover in class, some things that we won't cover in the chapter in class, but I want to make sure, listen to that, internet, I want to make sure that you get all information out of each chapter that we cover. So my exams will be open book. It'll be open the whole week. The rest of it, now don't judge my exam by the rest of the other instructors' exam. Some of theirs are timed. So don't get it mixed up thinking you're taking my exam. On the exam, you open it up, you got 30, 45 minutes to take the exam, all right? So be sure you understand that my exam is open book. It'll be open the whole week. I'm going to give you a little hint. Get the exam, print it off, print the exam off, read the questions first. See, I'm very methodical in how I instruct. Read the questions first, then read the chapter. So I will read the chapter, because you're going to have to read it while we're going through, while we're instructing, while we're going through the weeks anyway. But when it comes time for exam, listen to me there, when it comes time for exam, I want you to print the questions off, read the questions, then go read the chapter. I'm telling you how to pass my class. All right. Now, what is that going to do? I'm manipulating your brain. When you read the questions, you're looking for an answer. When you find the answer, that answer is going to stick with you. That's what I want. I want certain things out of the chapter to stick with you. Certain key points of the chapter, I want to stick with you. So that's the reason why I do that. So I think that my exams will be the easy exams you take, if you can read. It will be the easy exam to take, all right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this apostolic school. Thank you for our apostle. I thank you for the other instructors. Father, thank you for these students that are present here in Darrell and those students that are watching us online. Father, thank you for a successful school year. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can reveal the heart of God to us. So we yield to you, Holy Spirit, whatever direction you want to go in, whatever ideas, concepts, whatever thing you want us to delve into, Holy Spirit, we're open to it. Thank you. Jesus, thank you as always. You're the reason why we're able to do this, because of the price you paid, because of the blood that you shed. Thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians. I think it's Philippians, the second chapter I want to go to first. Philippians, the second chapter and the 13th verse. Now, anybody have their book with them? I left my book at home. You got your book? Let me see your book. This is the book that you should have for this class. I want to make sure. Internet, this is the book you should have for this class, all right? Give you a brief synopsis of this book before I go on. This book is going, without a shadow of a doubt, is going to revolutionize your life. There's some instructions in this book. There are some, your theology is going to be challenged. All right? Your theology is going to be challenged. I'm going to begin tonight by challenging one of the words that we all as Christians have fallen in love with. We're going to deal with the word faith tonight. And you will learn about faith in a way that you've never learned before. And listen at me. You will learn about faith in a way you've never learned about faith. Because I want you to understand that if we do not understand what faith really is, this book is going to cause you to become conflicted about who God is. All right? One of the first things I want you to understand is that we must shift as Christians. We must shift from a self-centric view of God to a God-centric view of God. We must shift from a self-centric, meaning self is centered. So what I mean by that, I love God because of what he can do for me. I go to church because I want to get a word for myself. I'm doing this because of me. We have to shift from that kind of concept to a God-centric concept. In other words, I'm going to church so that I can get instructions for what God wants me to do. Let me deal with this statement. How many of y'all want the will of God for your life? I know you do. But how much better is it for you to just know the will of God? See, when you're saying, God, I want to know the will of God for my life, what you mean is, God, if you give me instructions that don't pertain to me, I ain't paying attention. So it's better to ask God for his will rather than his will for your life. Because here's what you must understand. God has been thinking about you much longer than you've been thinking about yourself. Philippians 2, verse 13. Here it is. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of what? His good pleasure. All right, now remember the word good pleasure. To do of his good pleasure. Go to Ephesians 1. See, we have to shift from a self-centric view of God to a God-centric view of him. Ephesians 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in, watch this, heavenly places in Christ. Not in heaven, in heavenly. Or heavenly, L-Y, meaning like. Or it should be a heaven-like place in Christ. So the only other heaven-like place you're going to be is here on earth, because you ain't going to exist but two places. Well, there's three, really. You're going to exist here on earth, and you're going to continue your life either in heaven or in hell. I hope you choose heaven. So that's the only three places you're going to exist. So heavenly can't be heaven, because heaven is heaven. So the only place that can be like heaven has to be earth. So that means that God has already planned for us to live like we're already in heaven. He's already blessed. He's already empowered us to do it. But the problem is, if we have a self-centric view of God instead of a God-centric view, centric means centered. So I shouldn't have a self-centered view of God. I should have a God-centered view of God. For instance, you know, we love to number, put things in chronological order. We love to number things. We call it priority. We like to prioritize things, which is fine, which is good. But one of the things we do is when we prioritize our lives, that means we have to pick and choose. Right? That means if this is number one in my life and number one and number two collide, then I have to choose number one. Right? What's more important to me? Well, with God, there's no such thing as prioritization. There is harmony. When you have a God-centric view of him, everything in your life begins to work in harmony. Other words, watch this. God is now the center and everything else revolves around. So there'll be no conflict. So that means I don't have to make choices when it comes to God. When it comes to God and things that God has planned for me, there will be no conflict. So that if there is a conflict, that means whatever is conflicting is not in the harmony with God, what God wants for my life. Is this making sense? You see how much easier it is if you have a God-centric view of who he is rather than a self-centric view. Are you seeing this? Watch this. Remember, I told you, remember the words good pleasure. Go to verse 5. Having predestinated us, predestiny, before destiny, God has already placed us as adoption of children by Jesus Christ, that's the cross, unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see that again? Good pleasure. Go to verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to what? His good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. All right. Here you see that God, even God, has a God-centric view about you. Now, why does God have a God-centric view about you? Because when God becomes the center and everything else revolves around him, harmony takes place. And therefore, God's will get done. And when God's will get done, God is now obligated to do what we want. Is this making sense? So in order to do that, I'm going to have to challenge your thought process about faith. All right. Go with me to, let me start off with Romans 1. Romans 1, I think it's 17. No, it's 1 and 17, yeah. Galatians 3 and 11. Hebrews 10 I think it's 10:36, we're going to get there. And Habakkuk 2 and 4. I know I said them fast because I'm doing by memory. Galatians 3:11. Romans 1:17. We're going to find something common with all of these. Yeah, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11. Be finding one in Hebrews real quick. Hebrews 10. Yeah, 10:38. Hebrews 10:38, Galatians 3:11, Romans 1:17, and Habakkuk 2 and 4. And make sure that is Habakkuk 2 and 4. First one we'll go to is what? Romans 1:17, I told you, right? Now we're going to see a statement that is made more than one time. Habakkuk 2 and 4 is going to be a little different, but I'm going to save it for last because Habakkuk 2 and 4 is going to give us the clearest picture. All right? Here in Romans 1:17, hope you're with me, Internet. In Romans 1:17, here it reads, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the what? The just shall what? Live by faith." Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3 verse 11 reads this, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the what?" That's two times, right? That's two times. Hebrews 10:38. Read the first statement to me. "Now the just shall live by faith." Watch what it says. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Wow. "The just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Remember the word good pleasure? Now we're dealing with no pleasure. So three times we've seen the Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith. So this is important, right? If you've been in the church any length of time, you'll know that the word faith is important. And here we see in three times that it says the just, those that are justified, those that are righteous, those that are born again, those that have been redeemed, shall what? Live by faith. All right? Habakkuk 2 and 4. Habakkuk 2 and 4 says something a little different. I'm going to give you a few minutes to find Habakkuk. It's there, trust me. If you're like me, if you got, I love my iPad because it's pointing, it's punching now. If you got a table of contents, you know, don't be afraid to use it. I know people all the time who know all 66 books of the Bible, but their life don't show it. So knowing the 66 books of the Bible ain't going to make no difference. It's living the 66 books of the Bible that makes a difference. Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 4. I want you to see this because this is very important because it says it a little bit different. "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by." Uh-oh. This has now become a personal thing. The just shall live by what? So three times we read that the just, I hope you hear me, Internet, the just shall live by faith. Now in Habakkuk, we see the just shall live by his faith. All right, go to with me to Romans 12th chapter. A lot of scriptures, because the way I'm going to define faith, it takes a lot of scriptures because it's going to uproot a lot of stuff. Remember now, we must shift from a self-centric view of who God is to a God-centric view of who he is. All right. So we have to begin to stop looking at what God can do for us and what I can do for him. See, one of the things that God did to make us important is he limited what he can do in the natural without our cooperation. See, it's illegal for you to be here if you don't have a body. That's why Jesus, that's why the word had to what? Become flesh. Because if he didn't become flesh, then he couldn't be here to die on the cross to redeem us. So that's why Mary went through the Immaculate Conception, because God didn't want man contamination in the blood of Jesus. Are y'all seeing this? So God knew this. So God said, I got to send my son in flesh and blood to take care of what Adam and Eve lost. So it's illegal for you to be here on earth without a body. So God can't do nothing in the natural unless he can find somebody that's willing to obey his voice to initiate his power in earth realm. Are you seeing this? Romans 12, verse 3. The Apostle Paul talking, he said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Wait a minute, let's break this down. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. First thing, let's break the word measure down. Measure simply means part or piece. If you're cooking or you find a recipe, some recipe books deal with measures. They say take two measures of this. That means take two parts of this. Or three measures, take three parts of this. So the word measure simply means part. So here it is, the Apostle Paul is letting us know that God has dealt to every man a part of the part of faith, right? Because it said the measure. So the means very specific. Not just anything. He gave the measure or the part of faith. Or let me say it this way. He's given us a piece of faith. All right. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and it shall be removed. Right. We thinking now based on our old way of thinking about faith that I have to. The word has to grow my faith in order for something to happen. When you're talking about a piece of something, that means that it has, that when I take a piece of pie, that means that there's another whole pie left. So when God dealt to every man the measure or their part, very specific. Notice I said their part, my part, your part, their part of faith, that means there's another whole something that's missing. And I'm only a part of it. Are y'all seeing this? So it says God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, if God has dealt to us a piece of this thing called faith, then we really got to understand what faith is. Most people go to find out what faith is, they go to Hebrews 11 and 1, right? Let's go there. Which, if we study faith from a self-centric point of view, in which we have been taught, in a self-centric point of view, we'll think that faith is all about us. We'll think that faith is all about what we want. I'm going to use my faith to get my house. I'm going to use my faith to get this amount of money. I'm going to use my faith to produce this car. Right? That's how, come on now, let's be real. That's how I've been taught, right? Right? Hebrews 11 and 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's how we define faith. And, you know, it's like, you don't know what faith is. I know Romans 10, 17 says, so then what? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Okay, so how do my faith, I'm trying to operate by faith. God, I'm believing you. I'm making my confessions every day. Why is this stuff not showing up in my life like it should? It's because faith is not about you. It's about him. All right? So let's look at, let's do me a favor. Let's replace the word faith with the word assignment. All right, let's Romans 12, chapter verse 3. It says, God has dealt to every man the measure of assignment, or their part of assignment. In other words, everywhere, and see, here's how you always can test a word out. If it fits there, it should fit everywhere. If the word, if I can replace the word assignment or faith with assignment in that instance, I should be able to replace it everywhere. All right, let's go back to our first full scripture we went to. Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by the assignment. Romans 1:17. The just shall live by the assignment. Right? Now let's go to Habakkuk 2 and 4. The just shall live by his assignment. The just shall live. Live simply means to carry out your process of life. So the shall carry out their process of life by their assignment. That's been given to us by God. Because God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, or they're part of the assignment. So now we go to Hebrews 11 and 1, and we see that faith is really talking about assignment and not so much about what you can get. Hebrews 11 and 1, watch this. Now, this is important now, because I'm shifting your idea. Internet, listen, I'm shifting you from a self-centric view of God to a God-centric view of who he is. This is important. Did I ever say faith would not produce what you want? Did I ever say that? Faith will produce a house. It will produce a car. But the process by which we've been going through has been an error. Because we think it's because of our confession. I didn't say that wrong. Because you know what really confession does? Confession is really for you. God already knows what he's planned for you. Is you got to brainwash yourself. That's what confession is for. Confession is to brainwash you. Did I say it right? Brainwash you. To brainwash you, so that you will. The word believe just simply means to be convinced. If I can be convinced, then I know it can happen. Right? Are y'all seeing this? So it's not so much that I'm believing God will cause manifestation in my life. That's not how the process works. The process works by Hebrews 11 and 1. Watch this. It says, now my assignment is the substance of things for the evidence and my faith is the substance of things hoped for. Watch this. And my faith is also the evidence of things not seen. Now, here's God taking care of him and you in the same verse at the same time. So it says, my assignment is the substance of things for. So now here's the question. Whose hope are we talking about in this scripture? You've been taught, we've been taught that it's my hope, our hope. That could be true. Go to verse 6. Watch this now. I know this messing you up. I know this is, but just bear with me. Just bear with me. Let me prove it out by scriptures, all right? Prove it out by scriptures. This is school, right? This is a training center, right? Matter of fact, this is an apostolic training center. So a lot of times, let me explain something to you about denominations and religion. Religion is just simply man's idea about who God is. That's what religion is. This is what denomination is. Denominations is man's idea about who God is, and they want to control man with it. That's why you have all these different denominations. Denominations are simply organizations that stop moving with God. They believe this, and God can't go no further. There can be no adjustments. This is what God... See, You have, see, the difference between, the reason why the apostolic is not a religion, is not a denomination, is because it deals with, the apostolic simply deals with the God. When God moves, we move. When God stands still, we stand still. If God moved left, we move left. If God moved right, we move right. Are you seeing this? So when we start talking about faith, we have to begin to see faith from an apostolic, a place where my faith is not just for me to get what I want. The original, because this is in the chronological order in Hebrews 11 and 1. Remember, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? And it's also the evidence of things not seen. The evidence is the manifestation of that you want in your life. So here's the thing. If I get God to talk to me, if I get instructions from God and I complete those instructions, now God is obligated. Right? So now this hope for, whose hope? What is hope, first of all? Think of what is hope? Hope is simply more, is nothing more than some future goals. A dream, a plan. You got what I'm saying? It's what, you know, I have to, you all have to hope to see tomorrow. If you don't have hope to see tomorrow, then tomorrow might not show up for you. Looking forward to something. So here it is. It says, now my assignment is the substance of somebody's future goals and dreams. To find out who that is, we go to verse 6. It's very simple. Verse 6. It says, out my assignment, it's impossible to please who? Him. Who is him? God. Watch this. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? All right, so here it is. It says, but without my assignment, it's impossible for me to please God. So if my assignment is a thing that pleases God, and without it I can't please him, then if we go back to the first verse and realize that that future dream, future goal is not ours, but it's God's. So now faith has taken on another level of importance. Because if I don't walk in faith, if I don't live by faith, then that means there's some dream from God that's going undone. Are y'all seeing this? Let me read Hebrews 11 1 like this. Now my assignment brings to reality the dreams of God. That's what your faith does. Now my assignment brings to reality God. Not only do it bring the dreams of God to reality, but it's also evidence of what things I desire in my life. So if I get God to talk to me, I hear his voice, I do what he asked me to do, I complete what he asked me to do, I stay in line with what he asked me to do, then it's not no shadow of a doubt that I'm going to receive the desires. Psalms 37 and 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and what he'll do? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Mark 6:33. Seek ye first. Turn there. Please. Because I need to kill religion in that scripture too. I need to kill religion. Listen, I hope you're with me in that. We're killing religion. I receive. Matthew 6:33. See, a lot of times we confessing, and because of God, instead of a God-centric view, God would give us instructions. But sometimes because those instructions don't pertain to our situation, we don't do them. When we don't do them, that means we are tying God's hand to do for us what we want to do for him. Because there's 6 and 7. Hold your fingers there. Go to Galatians 6 and 7. S- See, God set laws in place that guarantees our success. The problem is we don't know how to properly manipulate. I said manipulate the laws. See, we look at these laws differently. We look at this, what I'm about to tell you, Galatians 6 and 7, what it says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, most times we read that because it said be not deceived, we think it in a negative connotation. Well, you do evil to me, evil will come back to you. But let's look at it from a positive. It says, be not deceived. God is not what? Mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, God is not a man that he should lie. He don't place laws that, first of all, he don't back up and that he don't participate. He gives us instructions on what to do for him, and we complete them for him. That means we just sold something. So whatever a man, that shall he also. So now when I am in line with what God wants me to, he's asking me to do, that means God is now obligated to do for me. But if I've been taught about faith from a self-centric view, that means that I'm using my faith to get my house. I'm really concerned about what God wants. Because, by the way, God's just here for me. Do you really want to know the original purpose of man? The original purpose of man was to love God. That's why he made Adam and Eve. Do you realize that's why he made Adam and Eve? And watch this. The garden was a test facility. Listen to me, internet. The garden was a test facility. It was a training facility. A test training facility. The way it was supposed to work is Adam and Eve are supposed to spend time with God on a daily basis. And who God is. They learn about their dominion. They learn about how to operate. Then God was going to release them into the outer darkness. But because of Satan interfering in the plans, they got released in the outer darkness. Half trained. See, Eden was just a section of the earth. The rest of it was dark and just messed up. It was us that was supposed to go out and speak to the, just like God spoke to the darkness in Eden, we were supposed to go out and speak to the darkness in the world. So our whole reason for being created was to fulfill the dreams of God. Are you seeing this? Watch this, Matthew 6, 32. The reason why I'm starting at 32, because I want you to see what relations verse 33 works in. In the sixth chapter. God, or more specifically, Jesus. And it's in red. There ain't no sense in being super spiritual. We know it's Jesus talking. I want to make emphasis on this because it's Jesus saying this. Watch this. Watch what verse 32 says. For after all these what? Things seek after. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. For after all these things. What things? Come on, talk to me. What things? Thank you. More specifically, because I need you to say it. More specific. Material things, houses, and money. Nice vacations, an RV if you want one, a second vacation home if you want one, whatever you want. These things. He said, watch this. He said, for after these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, I want that to be in relation to the third verse. The Gentiles not seeking the Holy Ghost. They don't know they need him. They're not seeking Jesus. They don't know they need him. They ain't a lover for God. Some of them don't even believe he exists. So this word things is simply means super spiritualize this 33rd verse. Let's go to 33. Thank you for that word, but. Go back to 32nd verse. This is Jesus talking, right? This is Jesus talking, right? I need to say to you, it's in the Bible. In the 32nd verse. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have What? What did he say? You have what?
Need.
What else? Wait a minute. That God my Father, listen to me, that God my Father knows I have need of all these things. What things? But get this. Jesus the Christ knows that we have need. So now here it is, Jesus the Christ, the anointed one of his anointed, have just shifted, from things. God desired, he wants it. God, in other words, he's trying to get us to see how bad God wants us to be, to have these things. He's showing how much God is wants us to prosper, to have peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. It's shifted. To us may be a want, but to God it's a need. Are y'all feeling the love of God? Are y'all seeing this? So here it is. He said, for our Heavenly Father knows we have need of all. Need and all. If somebody come to you talking against prosperity, show them this scripture. Need and all, the Heavenly Father. Because they ain't going to have no argument then. Because the things in this, and the things in this 32nd to the things in the 33rd verse. Seek ye first. But. Yeah, thank you. But. The Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. But. What but does? Just eliminate it. Everything before. But. I don't want you to go and look for these things that the Gentiles, how the Gentiles do it. I have a much easier way. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Simply watch this. Seek ye first my ways of doing things right. And doing them, watch this, his way right. That's what righteousness is. His way right. Why is that important to say it his way right? Because there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Give you an example. Give you a real heart to touch the heart. Told you, sow this seed in somebody. And God can be very specific. He can be very specific sometimes. God say, I need to sow $50 to this person. And you start rationalizing and start like, Lord, you know. Okay, God. And you get a person 35. What did you operate the law of seed time and harvest? I mean, yeah, you did. Because you gave. But the question is, did you do it his way right? So if you don't do it his way right, he's not obligated to do it your way right. See, I'm shifting I'm shifting you from a self-centric view of God to a God-centric view of who he is. This is important. This is very important because we've been taught faith at the point of trying to make everything right in our lives. When Jesus, we're going to get back to Matthew 6 chapter, Jesus really said, which one of you by taking one thought can add a cubit to your stature? You can't. You can't. So there's really nothing you can do. Because the world system, you already named the name of Jesus. So the world system is already trying to be against you. So you're going to need some supernatural forces, some supernatural intervention, some favor to get things done. And there's nobody better to have on your side than the creator of favor. So if I get on his good side, just be able to get on his good side. Well, watch this. When I'm on his good side, and you mean to tell me I'm helping him to bring what? Are you kidding me? I'm bringing the past, the dreams of God. When you begin to help bring past the dreams of God, God goes over. Now, here's what I love about God. God can't never just do what you're asking. Why he can't never just do what you ask him? Because that means he won't show you who he is. That's why God always has God for something. Show up in your life, he get it to you, then all of a sudden he this come tagged along with it and that come tagged along with it. You're like, God, I ain't asking for this. God just saying, I'm just showing you who I am. You can't outdo me. If you help bring to pass my dreams, I'm going to help bring to pass your dreams and give you stuff you didn't know you were going to dream about. Are y'all seeing? Isaiah 119, watch this. Isaiah 119. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat to the good of the land. Are you seeing this? It says, if you are willing and obedient, ye shall eat to the good. Verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. What it means to refuse and rebel is a lot of people take those words and simply mean go to the extreme with them. Refuse and rebel could simply mean, I don't know. I didn't know God wanted me to do this. Why? Because I had a self-centered view. Because it don't pertain to my situation, I really hadn't been paying attention. So if I haven't been paying attention, I can't do what he asked me to do. Because I don't know. If I don't know, I can't do what I don't know. This is making sense. Faith is not your personal tool for your personal stuff. I'm closing here. Get this. I want to close this. Because as we get further into this book, your faith, you're going to have to understand what faith really is. It's not for me. It's the purpose of my faith. It's to bring God's dreams to pass. The stuff is a byproduct of that. Now you say, I'm going to leave you on this note. You said something so faith is hearing and hearing by the word of God. Go there real quick. I'm going to go a little over, but go there real quick. Romans, the 10th chapter. And we'll close with this because I want you to see this. Rightly dividing the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by my assignment comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here's where we get tripped up at. We think because we read the Bible, we're getting faith. But the Bible only positions us to receive faith. Because the word, W-O-R-D, that is translated rhema. You got logos and rhema. Who knows the difference? Who knows the difference between logos and rhema? There it is. Logos, I'm going to say it to you. Logos is written, right? Rhema is spoken. So, in other words, rhema gives a connotation of something fresh, live. See, this, what you hold in your lap, all you have on your electronic device, that is the logos, the original Greek text. The original Greek text says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema. So my assignment comes by me hearing a live word from God. So if I don't constantly spend time with him, so I can keep getting fresh direction. Because if I keep getting fresh direction, then I'm being taught how to do things his way and to do them his way right. And when I do things his way and do them his way right, all these things. So you see how faith, because of religion, has been taught to us as a tool to use for our personal gain. But the true original purpose of faith is to bring to pass the dreams of God. Once God's dreams get brought to pass, then God's works on. So now we continue to shift from having a self-centric view of God to a God-centric view of God. You'll never forget this. Go listen. Don't just listen to this class over and over, because what this new is going to help you hear. Because now the word of God is no longer going to just be something that you read, But it's going to be a platform that you spring off of to hear the voice of God. All right. So once again, my faith is my assignment. I live by carrying out my assignment. That's how I live. I live by faith. When I'm walking in my assignment, I'm walking in faith. When I'm walking in my assignment, I'm helping to bring to pass the dreams of God. I see y'all.